had a service quite like this, and I always heard preachers say it's hard to preach after all that. And every time, I think I've preached three times since them kids is sank.
Yeah.
It's hard to come in behind them. But pretty much everybody's done preached my sermon. I got a message from the preacher at 6 o'clock this morning, and I was up at 5 o'clock reading, and he sent me that message. I said, man, I'm right on. I am in line. I said, this is going to go right along with what I... Then he preaches pretty much what I was going to preach, only I'm in a different book. But I just want to thank the Lord for using me, and the Holy Spirit is working, or this stuff wouldn't line up the way it did. But I would like to thank the Lord for saving my soul, and I want to thank the Lord for this church. Charlie, he just went out, but when I first started, there was one man I looked for when I come through them doors. I was so bitter. And I always looked for Nancy, too. It wasn't because I wanted to see her. We was going to have the nativity scene, and she'd always ask me if we was going to do it, and I'd tell her no. I wasn't always nice about it either. That's why I said no. I said I'd pray about it, and I didn't even pray about it. That was just get her out of my way. And she asked about three times, and I told her we'd pray about it. And they was having practice, the first practice they had, and we left. And I got right down there to the light, there at Arby's. And I turned left. Stephanie said, what are you doing? I said, we're going back to church. I said, we're going to do that. Because I couldn't not go to church anyway. The Lord was dealing with me. I had a pride problem, and I even went to talk to Papa Brother Boyd about it. He even told me, he said, son, you're so full of pride, you're going to have to get rid of that. He was right. I didn't get mad at him. He was right. But I just want to thank each of you all and the preacher. Those classes has helped me tremendously. Because there's things a preacher goes through that most people don't even know about. Satan attacks you.
Yeah, he does.
First couple times I preached, he attacked me so hard up here, you wouldn't believe it. Stuff go through a man's mind. And you got to go through that. But the Lord was just toughening me up through it all. But it's in Exodus. The title of the message is Revival in the Wilderness. It's the only thing I could come up with. That's the only thing the Lord, that's what the Lord gave me. I didn't come up with nothing. Because he don't have a whole lot to work with. And I'll also tell you this about myself. And I got one of my friends back here with me. Always through school, grade school, you know, they always made you read out loud in class. Well, once I got old enough, I was like, you know what? I can't read, and I'm tired of people making fun of me, snickering and laughing. Well, once I got a little older, I just tell them I wasn't reading. In junior high and high school, you got a zero if you didn't read. I'll just take a zero. And boys, I ain't fine with me. I didn't care if I failed it or not. There wasn't nobody going to laugh at me. But so the Lord uses people that can't read. But so you all remember that. Just because you're not real smart, the Lord can still use you. But... In Exodus, you had the Israelites coming out of Egypt, and they went through the Red Sea and done all that, and the Lord was with them through it all. Their shoes didn't wear out. He had food for them all the time. And they would murmur and complain about things, and it got to the point where Moses had went up the mountain to commune with the Lord, and The Israelites got tired of waiting.
Oh, yeah.
Got impatient. That's what I was thinking about Brother Rick in his Sunday school class, about being impatient, jumping ahead of God, and getting yourself into some trouble. And that's what Abraham done, Sarah. But the Israelites went ahead and they was looking at all the other people around, and I'll just use this as an example. They was saying, well, all these people, look what all they got. Look at what the world's got. They got the Cadillacs and the Chevrolets and the GMCs, and look what we got. That was kind of the way I like to look at things. They had all the good stuff. So they went ahead and made an idol and worshipped. And idolatry what they ended up doing was getting naked, committing adultery, and lo and behold, what's the world do? That's the first thing you want to do, start taking their clothes off.
Yeah, that's the truth.
A sin that was disgusting, sin, and caused a lot of shame. But I'm going to start in verse 29 of chapter 32, and it says, "For Moses had said, consecrate yourselves today to the Lord, even every man upon his son and upon his brother, and he may bestow upon you a blessing this day." And I'm pretty sure that was back in chapter 29 where he was talking about consecrating yourself, and they didn't do that, and they missed the blessing right there. And you wonder about how many times we've missed blessings because we haven't been doing what we're supposed to be as a church.
Right.
This is one of the most blessed churches I've ever seen in my life in the area. But I believe we're living off just mere crumbs that God wants much more for us. Much more. And He can give us much more if we just wait on Him. Don't look at the world. We need to wait on Him. And it says in verse 30, and it says, "And it came to pass on the morrow that Moses said unto the people, ye have sinned a great sin. And now I will go up unto the Lord peradventure." There you go.
Yeah.
And that means like, "perhaps I shall make an atonement for your sins. And Moses returned unto the Lord and said, oh, these people have sinned a great sin." And when you see that, oh, that's him crying out.
Yeah. Yeah.
In heart, his heart was broke. "And have made them gods of gold. Yet now, if thou wilt forgive their sin, and if not, blot me, I pray thee, out of the book which thou hast written. And the Lord said unto Moses, whosoever has sinned against me, him will I blot out of my book. Therefore, now go, lead the people unto their place of which I have spoken unto thee. Behold, my angel shall go before thee. Nevertheless, in the day when I visit, I will visit their sin upon them. And the Lord plagued the people because they made a calf with iron, or made the calf which Aaron made. And the Lord said unto Moses, depart and go up hence, thou and the people which thou hast brought up out of the land of Egypt, and unto the land which I swear unto Abraham and Isaac and to Jacob, saying, unto thy seed will I give it." So the Lord was ready just to go ahead and do away with them, but he made a promise. That was a promise, and God kept it.
Yeah.
He made a promise to Abraham and Isaac and Jacob that they'd see the promised land. So he went ahead, and it says, "I will send an angel before thee, and I will drive out the Canaanites and the Amorites and the Hittite and the Perizzite and the Hivite and the Jebusite." And it says here, "into the land flowing with milk and honey, for I will not go up in the midst of thee, for thou art a stiff-necked people, lest I consume thee in the way. See, God, He turned His back on them. He hid His face from them. He wasn't going to do it. He sent the angel to go with them. He wasn't going with them no more. But, and it says, I will send an angel before thee. The glory of God had left them.
Yes, sir.
And we'll go on down through here. And they noticed that. And unto the land flowing with milk, and I will go to the midst of thee, for thou art a stiff-necked people. Are we not a stiff-necked people?
Yes, they are.
I know I am, and I'm trying to... I'm asking God to take that stuff away from me and not be... I want to be obedient. And that's the only way we're going to have revival is to be obedient to God. And and verse 4 says, and when the people heard these evil tidings, they mourned. And no man did put on his ornaments. And those ornaments are jewelry and things of personal, just anything that, penance or anything. And as what that was meaning was they was repenting. For the Lord had said unto Moses, saying to the children of Israel, ye are a stiff-necked people, and I will come up into the midst of thee in a moment and consume thee. Therefore, now put off thy ornaments. So they did what Moses told them to do. For thee, that I may know what to do unto thee. And the children of Israel stripped themselves of their ornaments by the Mount of Horeb. So they done what they supposed to do. They stripped herself down. They got rid of all their gold and all their jewelry. Almost the same as putting on sackcloth and ashes. And it says here in verse 7, it says, and Moses took the tabernacle and pitched it without the camp, afar off from the camp, and called it the tabernacle of congregation. So the tabernacle was inside the camp. And this is where the revival starts. Moses took it out.
Yeah.
He took it out as far as he could get. Because God had done left.
Yeah.
His presence was gone.
Yeah.
The cloud was gone.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And that's what's wrong with the churches today is the cloud's gone.
Yeah.
We have no power.
Come on now.
Amen.
That's why we need revival.
Yes, sir.
And it came to pass that everyone which sought the Lord went out unto the tabernacle of the congregation which was without the camp. So Moses took that out there, and everybody that sought the Lord went out there with Moses. And if you'll go, we're going to read on down through here. You'd have thought with all that, all of them would you not?
Yeah.
So, in my thinking, we're not going to get everybody in the church to go.
No.
There's going to have to be a few of us get this started.
Yes, amen. Amen.
Yes,
preaching,
brother.
That's right.
Yeah. And then other people's going to start following.
Yes, amen. That's good right there.
And it came to pass when Moses went out into the tabernacle that all the people rose up and stood, every man at his tent door. So see, there not all of them went. They were standing at the tent door watching Moses. Well, what's Moses doing? So that's what we need to do. The world needs to be seeing us say, well, what's them people doing? They're them nuts? Are they crazy?
Yes, amen.
Yeah, I'm crazy. I'm a fool and I'm God's fool. That's what I'm going to tell them. And looked after Moses until he was gone into the tabernacle. And it came to pass as Moses entered into the tabernacle, the cloud pillar descended.
Yeah, man.
And stood at the door of the tabernacle, and the Lord talked with Moses.
Yeah.
Could you imagine that? He came back.
Yeah, he did.
Litany will come back, buddy.
Yeah, buddy.
Yeah. That's right.
I don't care what you've done.
Yeah.
He'll come back.
Yes, sir.
Amen.
He's not left you. He ain't going to leave you. You repented and that's it. It's done. It's finished. It don't matter what anybody else says. It's finished. It's wiped clean.
That's right.
Amen.
That is right. What the book says.
And all the people saw the cloud pillar stand at the tabernacle door, and all the people rose up and worshiped, every man in his tent door. And the Lord spake unto Moses face to face, as man speaketh unto his friend, and he turned again into the camp. But his servant Joshua, the son of Nun, a young man, departed not of the tabernacle. So Moses got word from God and he took it back.
Yeah.
Our God is merciful.
Yes, he is.
God could have killed every one of them.
Yeah. Yeah.
And I thank God for his mercy on me.
Yeah.
It'd been many times he could have killed me. Me and Brother Chris ought to be dead right now, oughtn't we? And I thought we was. I done give up. I quit running. He was merciful and had every right to kill me. And he said, my presence shall go with thee, and I will give thee rest. I think I skipped some. And Moses said unto the Lord, see, thou sayest unto me, bring up this people, and thou hast not let me know whom thou wilt send with me. Sorry. Yet thou hast said, I know thee by thy name. And thou hast also found grace in my sight. Now therefore I pray thee, if I have found grace in the sight, show me now thy way that I may know thee. See, there's a lot of people in churches, and I used to be one of them. I want to know God. For what, who he is. Just as a preacher was preaching, and I had this in my head, and whenever he started talking, all we want is a handout. We want all the blessings. We want that God. We want the God of... Life ain't full of blessings. Well, it is a blessing. God does bless. He gives us food and arraignment. We don't have to have all the stuff of the world. He gives us what we need. And that's a blessing in itself. We don't, and that's what our problem is we want all the good stuff. We want all the, I don't want to say it again, but all the GMCs and Chevrolets.
Yeah.
We want all that. We want all the worldly things to make us happy, and it's not going to make us happy. The only thing that's going to make us happy is to know God just for who He is.
Yes, sir.
That I may find grace in thy sight and consider that this nation is thy people. And he said, my presence shall go with thee and I will give thee rest. And he said unto him, if thy presence go not with me, carry us not up hence. When I read that, I made a vow. If God don't go with me, I don't want to go.
Yes, sir.
That is right.
Honey, if God don't go with us, I don't want to go. I'd see Him kill me right now. For the rest of my life, I want God going with me. And I'm going to be a witness for Him. And I want Mountain State Baptist Church to be a witness. I want that cloud right here.
Yes, sir. Yes, amen. Amen.
I want Summersville to see it.
Yes, amen.
I want Nicholas County to see it.
Yes, amen.
I want them to see that cloud and say, what's going on over there? Because they're standing on her porch. And they see all these people, these boys here passing things out. Why? They're seeing it.
Yeah.
And I think we can pray. If we pray, and that's what it is. One man, Moses, took that tabernacle out. One man. It started with one man. All those big revivals started with a couple people.
Everyone.
And I know the one in, I think it was Northern Ireland. I wish I could remember names, and I can't. It started in a little room that only two people could get in. That's where it started.
Yeah.
And all that happened at about the same time, I do believe.
Yeah.
Or Northern Ireland, I think is what I may have said that. But in Northern Ireland, that's where that big revival started. So we can see a revival.
Yes, we can.
And I believe we can, and I've been wanting one ever since the Lord started dealing with me. And I think we can. And
yes,
and before I close, I want to read this. And this is a man. His name was Herodias Bonar. He was a hymn writer back in the 1800s. He wrote a lot of hymns that we sing. And before we go into revival, I'd like to have you all just think about this. It says, applauses, fame, popularity, honor, and wealth, all these are vain. If souls are not won, if saints are not matured, our ministry itself is vain.
That is right.
If we don't see souls saved, and the ones that do get saved aren't growing and aren't maturing, then it's all in vain.
Yeah.
That's right.
That is right.
And if there's anyone here that doesn't know the Lord as your Savior, I ask you today to come up. If you got any sin in your life, if there's any sin in this camp, you need it gone.
Yes.
That'll kill a revival quicker than anything.
Yes, sir.
We need to all be right, get right, do right.
Yes, sir.
Amen.
Yes, sir.
And I wish I could go back on a lot of things, and I'm not going to dwell on the past because that's the past.
That's right.
But I could have had a revival in my life a lot sooner than what I have, if I'd have just done the right thing. Stood up and done the right thing. And it's time for us to stand up and do the right thing.
Amen.
You got an invitation song?
Amen.
Okay.